religions were made by man for a moral and spiritual object. These were made for man, and man was not made for them. The purpose of joining the religion is to know God, which is the highest ideal before us. And man body is a golden opportunity that we have got in which we can know Him and no other body. So all of us who are sitting here, we are fortunate that we have got a man body. And we have also joined various religions to achieve that object of life which we have got before us. We have to see now how far we have succeeded in achieving the object of life which is before us. Time does come that we have to leave the body. Body is not permanent. It is made of matter. Matter is made of elements and atoms. This is a composition of so many things. This will decompose sometimes. So matter is changing, you see. And we are the indweller of the body, mind body. We are not the bodies, but we are the indweller of the body. What we are conscious entities, conscious beings. Conscious being, our own self, as you might say, is made of one substance only, that is consciousness. What is made of one substance, naturally, that has not to decompose or disintegrate. So this is agnostic, unchanging. What body that we are carrying, that is changing every moment of life. It has been said that the very particles of our bones are replaced, renewed in 7 years. So the whole universe is also made of matter, and matter is changing at the same speed as our bodies, which are made of matter, is changing. But God is all consciousness, that also made of one substance, and such cannot be decomposed or disintegrated, that is everlasting. So God is everlasting, unchangeable permanence, and similarly our soul, being of the same essence as that of God, is also eternal. But the body that we are carrying, that is changing. So you will find all masters have said the same thing in their own language. Swamiji tells us, well, O soul, thou art the essence of something which is eternal. Similarly, Corinthians, it is said, we are spirit in man, and the spirit is everlasting. Why do we fear that we have to die? So we are also eternal. So our souls, being conscious entities, is true home, is naturally the one which is all consciousness, the true home of the Father. But it has been environed with mind and matter and outgoing faculties, identified with them so much so that we cannot differentiate ourselves from the body. So body is changing. We have identified the self with the body. But you now think we are lost in, because that is a reflection of God within us. We never think of dying. Soul can never die, but it has to leave the body someday. You see, our daily experience shows that our body is working so long as we are in the body. And we are in the body so long as some controlling power is keeping us in the body. Man's body is a wonderful house we live in. It has got 9 apertures, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostril mouth, and other genital organs, but we cannot run away out of it. It is a wonderful house we live in. Breathing goes out, and it is again pushed back into the body, cannot remain outside. There is some power controlling it back into the body. That very controlling power, if you know God, is called by different names, God and so on. So in the man body we can know God. But first we have to know our own selves. Because it is the soul only who can know God. Like knows like. But we are so much identified, as I told you, with mind, matter and outgoing faculties, that we cannot differentiate ourselves from the body. We say so many things. I am not the body, I am not the intellect, I am not the white hairs. But can we analyze ourselves? We say, it is my gold, it is my watch, it is my tack. You can put it up at will. We also say that in my body, can we seek it out? But we do see, time does come when we have to leave the body, and this body is carried by people to the cremation place or to the grave, according to the customs prevailing in all religions. So what is that which is enlivening this body and that we are? So all masters say that this world is temporary, not lost. We are all in a grand delusion, the learned and the unlearned, old and the young, rich and the poor. Now, you see why we are under that delusion? Because we have not known ourselves. We are the indweller of the body. Body is changing at the same rate, at the same speed. As the whole world is changing, it is made up better at the same speed. As we are identified with the body, which is changing, and the whole world is also changing, is made of matter. We think when two things are moving at the same speed, those who are identified with them, they say, it is stationary. We may take two trains are running. You are sitting in the trains, and the trains are going the same way, both. At the same speed, sometimes it does happen, the man sitting in the boat train, they say, I know we are sitting now. And the boat train does very fast. So this is a delusion from which we have to come out. Guru Nanak says, so long as we do not know ourselves, we are all in a great delusion. How can you come out of this delusion? Simply, if you know how to leave the train. If you are sitting in one train, go out, if your train is fast, another will also hang down. So this is a delusion, you see, in which we are all. That is the slogan, with all masters who came in the past. Christ said, know thyself. Guru Nanak also said the same thing, I have just quoted to you. Upanishad says, know thyself. All Greeks also laid out the same thing. Not in seat. So purpose is, masters come to awaken. Wherever man, you are identified with the body, and the outgoing faculties and the enjoyment so much so that you have forgotten yourself. Man's body is the highest in all creation in which you can know yourself. How? By coming out of this delusion, by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. So how to do it, that's the part. We do leave the body someday, all, no exception to the rule, but if we now know how to leave the body, then this mystery of life is solved. If we know how to leave the body, we will come to know what is that power which is controlling us in the body. We become conscious co-worker of the divine plan. So all masters have been saying like that. Mahavirum says, where no soul you are, the resident of this true home of your father, which is everlasting, unchangeable permanence. You are steadfast in dust, in matter. Why don't you be awake? They say it is a shame for you, using the word shame, being the son of God, being the daughter of God, you see, away from your home, you are led away by mind and outgoing faculties, away, long away from Him. And where you are just in your foreign country, you forget your home altogether. So think of the home who you are. How can we do that? You find in the scriptures, be still and know that you are God. We are spirit in man, we are conscious entities, but identified in mind, body, outward faculties, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. One says that you have committed a heinous crime against your own self. And what is that heinous crime? That you are the indweller of the body and you have forgotten the indweller, your own self. Now whatever we are doing at the level of the nine bodies. Small child of 3 or 4 years old, you would ask him who you are, then you open his eyes, open his mouth, he has a feeling something here. As he grows in years, you ask him who you are, he says, I am Mr. Smith, I am Mr. Joseph, I am American, I am French, I am German, I am Indian. He has forgotten who he is. So this is a delusion, you see. Forgetfulness, you might say, ignorance, you might say, from which we have to come out. That you can come out only when you analyze yourself. So all masters who have been coming, they have been telling us the same thing, of course, in their own language, which was prevalent at the time when they came. We find in scriptures, lay thy treasures, lay by thy treasures in heaven, we say. The treasures lying here will be eaten by moth and rust. That is a place where no moth or rust can affect. There's something to show. Then again they say, unless you lose your own selves, it is, you cannot have everlasting life. So we are living a life of, what you say, superficial life, at the level of man. Now deep inside what we are, who we are. We are pinning ourselves to the outer casing of a wallet, not caring for the kernel within. So man has got three aspects. It is man's body, which is made of matter. It is intellect, and man is a soul, you see, embodied soul. So we are fortunate, we have got the man's body, and we are made a great progress physically in having outer possessions, intellectually also making wonderful inventions. But with all that, whenever we ask anybody, well, how are you getting on spiritually, what do you speak of? We are living the life of eat and drink and be merry, and an Epicurean way of life, never caring for our own self. The values of life, some are most important, some are less important, some are the least important. So man's body is a gift from God, the highest rung in creation, the golden opportunity that we have got, because in man's body only we can know God, maintain it as long as you can, Kabir says. Once it is passed out of your hands, it is very difficult to have man's body. Old Rishi said, live, plan, yes. Live up to 100 years at least. Another master say, well, maintain this in a horse on which you are riding on, a strong mind, and a strong body. So body must be cared for, it is not to be left alone. But at the same time, we are not the body, we are the indweller of the body. You find is not body more than the raiment, and life more than the meat. All that possessions that we have got less important than our own body, and we are still more important than our bodies. The house is on fire, and you escape with no injury. You say, thank God, I'm saved. The outer positions are there, all burnt down. But you say, thank God, I'm saved. So what is more valuable than it? Position. It any accident, we might break our leg, God forbid it. We say, thank God I am saved. So our own life is more valuable than the body. And how are we behaving? We are caring whole time, 24 hours of the day and night, for having possession outside, or maintaining our body only, and never cared a fig for our own. Who will tell us we are wise? So you are, you see, the most valuable treasure in this mind body. God has kept it in, shut up in different boxes, you might say. Any valuable diamond, I think we keep in one casket, then in two, then in three. Similarly, God has kept the pearl of Christ within us, our own self, and that controlling power which is controlling us in the body. So first is the iron casket in the physical body. Within that there is the astral body, still further on the causal body. So these are the three caskets. We are just kept inside being most valuable. So we have to shake up these to know our own self. Prophet Muhammad says, God says, I am the treasure hidden within you. We are God in man, we are spirit in man. When we are able to shake out these caskets, we know Father is in me and I am in the Father. I in my Father is one. Son is dyed with the color of Father. Father speaks through the Son. If you have experience, you know. But when you shape up the body. So macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. We have to solve this mystery of life, what we are, who we are. We have got a value of life. We have advanced wonderfully physically, intellectually, but we have done little or nothing about our life. With all these advancements, physically you know, we have just found out so many systems how to maintain body, how it works, how it goes out of order, how it can be set right again. So we have got so many systems. The oldest is the Veda system, then comes the Yunani system, then comes allopathy, then homeopathy, naturopathy, and abdominal treatments. These are only to maintain your body. Intellectually, we have advanced wonderfully. We can hear the voices from thousands of miles through radios. We can now also see who is speaking and hear him too, through televisions. The world has become small on account of the planes. In hours, we can traverse from one end to the other end of the world. We can also go around the world in an hour or so. Wonderful. Now we are trying to reach the moon. But with all these advancements, are we happy? No. Every man is unhappy. Gurudev say all world is unhappy. Kabir says, I have not seen one man who is happy after coming into the man body. more unhappy either physically, financially, or mentally. There is any hope of a man becoming happy? We are all after happiness, isn't it? We are earning money, we are having possessions, we are having buildings, we marry, we have children only for our happiness sake, but we don't find happiness there. The real happiness is within you. So with all these advancements we have not been able to be happy. The reason is the third side, our own self, the spiritual side, is uncared for. If we say certain prayers, read certain scriptures, are performed one way or the other, rites and rituals, these are good actions. Reading scriptures, advancing intellectually is a only diet or a food to the brain, to the intellect, and about the physical food, etc., you give to the body, you become physically, intellectually strong. What have you given to your own soul? There is a bread of life and water of life. If you can have that, you can also become spiritually strong. And therefore we can have that bread of life. So Tulsi says, well, if you sit at the feet of the master, you can become happy. You have the bread of life and the water of life. I hope you remember Christ Jesus just went to a well. There was a Samaritan lady who had a pitcher full of water over her hand and asked her to give water to drink. And she said, strange enough, we are Samaritans, you people have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Why are you asking for water? And what did he say? He said, had she known who it was, you would ask me for water, she would have given. Then he told her, well, this water that you gave, that only slaves you have touched for a while. Again you touch again. Again and again. But had you come to me, I would have given you a living water of life. We would have finished your thirst forever. And then he decided, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And this bread of life have come from heaven. Whoever eats me and drinks me has everlasting life. So with the Master you say, at whose human form that God is speaking, with the mouthpiece of God, He can give you the bread of life and the water of life. And what is that bread of life or water of life? You will find the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. World was made flesh. What is the world? God is wordless. Absolute God that did not come into being as yet. When it came into being, into expression, into action, that a God in action power is called world, namaship. That is the cause of all creation. Find the Bhagavad world. In the beginning was the world. The world was with God, and the world was God. The whole creation came about to the world. And where that world, thy world is settled in heaven. This world is the bread of life, it has come from heaven, you see. Where it has manifested materialized some human form, manifesting some human form, he can contact your soul by withdrawing from the mind and matter and give that better life to you. So you can be happy only if you have a blend of life and the water of life. I'm quoting you these things from the Bible because you people are more conversant with the Bible. Exactly the same words we find in the sayings of other scriptures too, in their own language, of course. So, unless or until we have got spiritual progress, food of life, bread of life, we are not happy. We have made so many inventions, we are now in danger of atomic war. Thank God that the treaty has been signed by now. But still, our own intellect has gone against us. Had we known ourselves first, well, all these things would have gone to help humanity. Because we have known little or nothing of our own self, these very things are now hovering around us. Any moment it starts, the world will end. So, in a man body, only we can have this blend of life. Who can give the blend of life? Who is word-made flesh? It is the God in man, God in action, manifested in man, which can give you a contact with God, the Word, isn't it? So for this purpose, we have chanted various religions. These are the basic teachings given by all masters whenever they came. Those who met them, they had the bread of life and the water of life. How could they have it? By rising above body consciousness. By analyzing oneself from mind, body down to the faculty. It is a matter of pure self-denial. Religion truly means, re means back. Religio comes from the ligament to bind. To bind back our souls to God again. This is what is meant by religion. One is the social side of religions. They have got their own customs, their own rituals, rites, and their own modes of prayer. They're all good actions. They lay down that we should read scriptures of our own. Well, what are scriptures? Their point record with findings and experiences of the masters who came in the past that they had with God and in knowing themselves. What things stood in the way, what were the healthy factors. So this is fine record of all that. You might say, past masters speaking truths. They can create in us an interest to have the same experiences that they had in their lives. And unless we have got the same experience, we cannot be fully satisfied. That creates an awakening in us, a desire or a craving in us to know God. And they are scorpions. They can create an interest but cannot take us to have truly the experiences that they had. So, saying prayers and performing certain rites and rituals, they are good actions, they develop in us love and devotion for God. And they are then scope ends. They are good actions, They are for the preparation of the ground. And Kabir says, well, it is a pity that man body we have got, the highest in all creation, the golden opportunity that we have got, he says, O soul, awake. If you do not awake now, the man body, when will you awake? You see? Old Veda said the same thing. Awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. The very words they are using. Rishi used the same words thousands of years back, and Kabir only 500 years back. You see? The same words were expressed by Guru Arjan. He says, awake, stand up, awake, stand up. You are on the way back to God. Why are you delaying? The same. So what is this awakening? We are asleep. We are at the level of the man body and the outgoing activities by identifying ourselves with them. So much so that we are awake outside and asleep within. And that controlling power which is keeping us in the body, we don't know. He is also with us. Guru Arjan says two brothers are living in the same house, but the house, the brothers don't talk together. Then who are they? Our soul and our soul of God. He is the controlling power keeping us in the body. And the other sense says, soul, low soul, God is asleep in the same bed. But the soul is just identified with the outgoing faculties and enjoying so much so that he is awake outside but asleep within. And God is waiting for him when he opens his eyes. God is anxious to have us, but we are quite ignorant of it. Child is playing outside in dust with the children, like anything, and mother is waiting for the child to come back and have food. It is something like that, you see. So that is why Master said, be like little children, for kingdom of God is for the children, you see. Children have no priority. If child of a king and the child of a street going by man, if they are those let alone, they will embrace each other, they will love each other in that. There is no duality, no higher, no question, no distinction. And we people, we are rich, we are more blended, we are higher, we are, the others are lower. So this is what is meant by becoming a child, you see. So I mean to say it, that the ultimate goal before us is to know God. For that purpose we have done various tools of qualities, of religions. We have to see whether we have attained that object or not. In all religions, masters have come. And by parallel study of religions, you will find that all said the same thing. Of course, in their own language, which was prevalent at the time. So, to say that one religion has only the reserved right to know God, they see that they prove it. When they say the same thing that you expect for all men, what are these masters? They are speaking, God speaking to them. I and my Father are one. Though they have known the truth that God coming power working through a man body, well, he knows the truth, he can let others know the truth. Son knows the Father, and others would be sundry beings. So we require, as I told you, Tulsi said, if you want to be happy, then sit at the feet of Sambhat. And what is he? To all intents and purposes, he is a man like you, having the same two eyes, two ears, two heads, two feet, born the same way. Inner construction of the body the same, but there is a vast difference between him and the average man, that our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and the outgoing faculties are drawn by enjoyments outside. We are not at our will and pleasure, we are not free, we are dragged like anything. Excuse me, Guru Arjan happens to an instance, suppose there is a house, there's a house lady there. And she has got some servants, maid servants, four, five. And no maid servants obeys her orders. You see? What would the state of the household? The same dilapidated state. Nobody caring for the house lady what she says. The first thing is those servants given that they must obey our orders. We should not drag down by them. But they should be under our control. We are the dweller of my house lady, you see. But there are five servants given to us, these outgoing faculties. There are five conscious outgoing faculties working through the gross outgoing faculties. Sight through the eyes, eyes are the gross outgoing. Audition through the ears. Smell through the nose, taste through the tongue, and touch through the skin. These five senses are dragging us out every moment of time. Sometimes you feel we don't like to do something, but we are drawn like anything to the outgoing factors. So we must control these senses first. You must see. But at the same time, if your eyes are open, with your remain open eyes, you should not see. Have control over your sight. You got open ears, you must have control over your ears. Even while sitting in multitudes, you should not hear. You know what is that way? Attention is the outward expression of our soul. You see? So if from attention these outgoing faculties work, you must have got into your experience from day-to-day life. Sometimes you are sitting in some very absorbed state of attention, you see, fully diverted in some thought. Somebody calls you, you do not hear, your eyes hear it open. Sometimes your eyes are open. You see, Newton was sitting by a roadside solving certain mathematical problems. He was absorbed in that so much so that a band went by him playing. Somebody later on came up and inquired when Newton is that band passed by. And now I don't know. In daily life you find something at home. When you're very much involved, somebody calls you, you don't hear. Although your ears are open. Similarly, somebody comes and sits by you, comes and goes away. You are so much in a reverie that you do not know who came and who went away. What is that? That is our attention. Expression of our soul. Which is ribetic, controlled. That other outgoing faculty, even the open, can't work. The first thing is to have control over our outgoing faculties. that you control with one thing, if you can control your attention on some certain subject, some disciplined way, in that case, what will happen? Your outgoing faculty, these are what drive you away. Now you are passing by, I see the beautiful scenery, and suddenly you are dragged like anything. You do not, you have become, have got the habit of going somewhere else, for seeing some scenery, some cinemas or anything. You don't want to go, but your legs go that way. Habit becomes nature. So this is the natural way. So we must have control over these senses. Then we will only be able to withdraw from outside bidding to find God. God, where is God? We seek Him in the scriptures. In scriptures, they give the experiences of the past masters who found God. Where, they say, tap inside, in the very soul of your soul, you are residing in the body, and that very controlled power is also residing within you. So wherever a thing is, if you would like to find it, you will have to go there where it is. So the nearest approach of God is within us, that is controlling us in the body. When we can invert to see Him, we must withdraw from outside. And to withdraw from outside, we must be able to concentrate our attention to some certain way, to have it under control. This is one thing. From the burning sun, if you come into the vestibule of a building, you feel that. But that is not sufficient. You see, you feel that, of course. But you have to rise above senses. Then you find God. First you have to withdraw from outside. For that the best way and the easiest is the natural way, the God-made way is the controlling of your attention. Withdraw from outside. But you cannot withdraw from outside. It's a difficult thing. I'll give you an example. A child is shut in a dark room. What will he do? He will break the doors, cry. If the child finds something very interesting, very attractive, very fascinating within, he will keep quiet. So, when our mind, why does not stay inside? He turns away outside, because in the outside things he wants, he sees some player. And our outside players can be divided into two things. One, good scenery, beauty. The other, very enchanting or fascinating sounds, singing, voice. Outward, these are the main two things that attract our attention always outside, and we have been having this from day to day, that day to day practice has found habit in us, and habit has been, just found into nature, in our nature. This habit we have to unravel, we can only unravel it. If we find more fascinating, more enchanting, more tasty within you, and God has provided that thing also within you. And what is that? God is Word, which is the controlling power of your soul within the body. And that Word has two aspects. God is active power, God is light, and God is sweet symphony of life. So when you withdraw from outside and see the light of God, which is already within you, and hear the voice of God, which is very enchanting, you will When you wait, have that, I will taste of this inside. Naturally, you leave it all outside. It is something like that. Then I take 2 glasses of water. In 1 glass, you put an ounce or half an ounce of sugar. In the other glass, you may put in 4 ounces or 5 ounces of sugar. If you taste the first glass, that will be sweet to you. You won't like to leave it. But if you once have a draught or put the other glass, then even you taste it, you won't relish it. You understand? It is not the mind to blame. I will say, we have given him such like things. Beyond that, he done. Mind doesn't know any other have sweetness. So when you meet a master, he is confident to help you to withdraw from outside. He is competent to raise your soul above the senses. He can drive you up out of this iron curtain of bad body. Open the inner eye, you see the light of God. It is the most enchanting, most beautiful. And also he opens the inner ears to hear that voice of God, the symphony of the Spirit, the music of the Spirit. They are most enchanting and beautiful. All glory and beauty lies within you. Astral plane, more beautiful than the physical plane. Causal plane is still more beautiful than the astral one. And when you transcend all these, they are the most beautiful and enchanting. Tulsi, the great saint of the East, tells us that when he reached the third plane, the Brahmand, he said, a very beautiful plane it is. And he said, when I transcended the Brahman at the third plane, I thought, oh, when Brahman at the third plane was a walking room, thinking. Because these are the tastes inside. When Master speaks of the most enchanting things inside, we don't believe it. But he said, well, look here, you don't believe what you say outside things. How would you believe if I speak of the So this is something lying within you, the light of God and the word of God, the voice of God. You got reference in the scriptures. If you shut the doors of the temple of the body, you will see the light of heaven. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Brothers also say when your outer faculties are inverted, the light is there. You have not to create it, visualize it, or premeditate it. It is a matter of pure inversion, tapping inside that Emerson puts it, to peep inside. And then right above senses, you find the same. You find in the outer holy places of worship that we have got with us, that they are made after the model of man, dome-shaped. Hindu temples are all dome-shaped like head. Then you find the symbol of light and sound. Bell is ringing and light. Go to the churches, they are cross-shaped or dome-shaped. There you find candle burning, light of candle, and bell ringing. When they say prayers, in the Hindu they light a candle and ring the bell. So these are some things, you see, models placed before us to let us know that such light and such light sound principle is reverberating within you. You find it when you tap it in work. Go with it. The whom we have to find, he is already within you, the very controlling power of your soul in the body. Oh, ignorant man, Why are you seeking in abyss? Why not seeking there where he is, the nearest approach to you? And when your inner eye opens, you see me everywhere. So to meet a master, he gives you this experience how to tap inside, how to withdraw from outside, enter within the laboratory of the man body, and give you an illustrative experience. And you testify that it is all. When you find, when you are given that sitting, before that we are blind. Who is the blind man? Master defines it. Those who have eyes on the forehead, they are not considered blind. Blind are they who have no eyes on the outside body, but the inner eyes closed. Masters, when they come, will find in the history of all masters that you used to give eyes. But these are the eyes they used to give. Before going to them, you were blind, not seeing that light of God. Your eyes were sealed. He breaks the axioms and you begin to see light. When you return, you are with your eyes man, you see. Now you close your eyes, you see darkness within. Then after that, whenever you sit, you find light within. Is there what difference or not? When you go to him, you are deaf. When you break the seal up your ears, you begin to hear the sweet symphonies of the spheres. How blessed it is to have a living master who is competent to give you this experience to start with. Mind that masters don't give you false promises of seeing after that. Who knows, you see it or not, have it or not. They want something for credit. Cash, not credit. They say, well, while alive you are a learned man, even after leaving the body you will be learned. If you are while alive, quite ignorant, unlearned man, by leaving the body you can not become a learned man. You are here in this room, if you go out of the room, you are the same as you are inside. So, to have the experience in life, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. The master gives you cash, you see, something to have experience in life. They say, don't believe in the saying of the master. Don't believe in the scriptures, too. You may take it up as an experimental measure, but you cannot be convinced until you have the same experience yourself. This is what the master do. As I told you, to all intents and purposes, he's a man like you. As a doctor, also a man, but he has dwelt that way by anatomy, knowing how the system of body works. Similarly, the man who has risen above body consciousness, sees the light of God and hears the voice of God, he appears to be a man like you, but he is so confident, see. When he mounts, he rises above body consciousness, traverses into the beyond. If anybody comes to him, the God in him, he is a God in man and man is God. The God in him helps others to also to have the same experience. So, solve the mystery of life. You are required to sit at the feet of somebody who has solved the mystery of life. To know God, naturally you require the company of somebody who knows God. To speak of God is something else. To know God is something else. To speak of riches is something else, and to be rich is something else. To speak of the laws of health is something else, and to be healthy is something else. So whenever the masters have come from time to time, they have been given these very things, very practical things. So sun knows the Father and then also the sun reveals. So this is the teacher of a man to a man, you see. When the child is born, mother is his teacher. His brothers are teachers. When he goes to the school to learn such a subject, teachers are there. They are also men. When you have to develop in any way, any subject you want to take up, you naturally want somebody who is expert in that line. And all outward these knowledges are dependent on the outgoing faculties, and those who want to know God, who is beyond all senses, who is unfathomable, undefinable, who you cannot bring in the scope of your intellect, but don't you need anybody who can help you there? Besides in your heart of hearts, we do need somebody who has that experience, has the competence to raise you up for a while, open your inner eyes, you begin to see the light. You bear testimony to it, then and there. Maybe little or more, according to each man's past experience, man is in the make. So that is why Christ told to his disciples, blessed are you, because you see things that the old prophets and righteous men could not see with all their efforts. You hear things what the old prophets and the righteous men could not hear. And he told them, you know what? What you are told in secret, you go and speak on the housetops. And you have found the truth, you have found the mystery of life to attract the attention of those who are seeking after God, you see. Well, that's all I will say. We are fortunate to have the man body. We have joined various schools of thought for that very purpose. Now we have to know whether we have reached this thing, what I have given you in a digest form, and upon what the masters said and gave to whosoever who came to you for that purpose. If you caught it, you are fortunate. If not, please. You have taken the first steps, you need not change your religions. You see, remain where you are. These teachings are there already existing, truth is one. All masters who gave me the same truth. Now you need somebody to get me a step further. You are reading scriptures, good, but even to understand the right import of the scriptures, you need somebody who has been on the way, because masters gave out what they saw. If we are now going to interpret those scriptures at the level of intellect, we cannot do justice in work. When you find somebody who has seen the way, the same experience he has had in life, he will give you the right import of things, you see. When you say, what did I say to the watch? By saying the word watch, I mean this watch only, not a dog or a horse or an elephant or a baby. So intellectuals give different versions of the same thing. If you like to have the right import of it, scriptures, you must have somebody who has been on the way. And the God's doing, performing certain rites and rituals, that is, for developing love and devotion in you, that is the first step. They are good actions. You have taken the first steps, now take the other step, just to rise above body codes. Lend to the eye so that you may begin to live. You will say, how can we die? Say, Paul said, I die daily. I die daily, he said. And Guru Nanak said, learn 100 times to die daily, he said. Mahavira said the same thing, all others, said. This is practical something, to be reborn into the beyond, he said. This is opening of the inner eye, to see the light which is already there. So I am here not to advocate any new religion to you. Remain where you are. Be true Christians. What the Christ said. Open the inner eyes, see the light of God within you. Who sees the light of God is a true Christian. And if you have not seen the light of God, then we joined that school, of course, but we have not yet become the true Christian. Similarly, it's everyone who sees the light of God. You may have the outer problems, that's the first step, to belong, to live in some religion is a blessing, but we must rise above. If we do not live in any religion, there will be corruption. Or in that we'll have to raise new religion. Why don't you stay in the religion which has stood the test of times? If there is anything corruption, just leave aside and follow the true teachings what the Master gave from time to time. So as I told you, I have not come to advocate new religion, to remain where you are, this is the truth that has been given by all Masters. Just try to meet somebody who knows the way, you want a teacher, in ignorance, you see. Whatever subject you have to take next to sit at his feet, he is your true friend, your true brother. He can give you, he's competent to give you some experience, and all credit goes to him. No son of man can do it. But the God in him, which is manifest, he is competent to give you, very few of them give you an experience of his own self. So with these few words, I'm glad I've been here in the Sadmani Ashram for a day. They wanted me to speak something, what little I know, to the best. I've been using the digest of the same in few words. The words are for your calm consideration. If you are true, anger, hunger, thirst for God, it is God above who has to make the arrangements. You see, he will bring you in contact somewhere where you can be put on the way. So whenever Masters come, they see from the level of the man's body, our level of the embodied soul, not from the level of the outer values of different religions that we are carrying. That is why the first work is to unite all children to work together, not to blend their religions into one, to let them remain where they are, simply rise in the body consciousness to come to the truth. You see? And he has the competency to raise you up and have the experience with it to start with. So thank you for your patience.
I don't know whether this is the time to entertain any questions if you have.
I have no objection in the front. But to the best I know, I'm here.
If anyone has any question, a couple of questions could be answered, but that should be ideally those who are seeking. Yes, please.
Did you say that one day we would reach perfection?
Pardon?
Did the Master say that one day we would reach perfection?
Yes.
Yes, there is hope. To have a man's body, you see, I would say, we have got the birthright to be perfect, to know God. Christ said, be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. If there was no hope, I don't think he would have done that. And that's it. The thing that Kabir says, they gave us an example, you have got a man's body, you must become perfect. Then he gives ideals, how? First he gives the ideal of a God of earth. He said, no, it is not a good idea, because it goes to hurt other things, hurt other men. Then he says, Ali, we should become like dust. He says, and that is also not a good ideal, because when wind blows, dust dismisses the body. It blows. Then he says, let us be like water. He says, also that ideal is no good, because it's sometimes hard, sometimes cold. Then people ask him, how should we be perfect? He says, you must be perfect as your God. We are God, we are spirit in man, the spirit is perfect. Simply, we are environed by mind and matter and other things, and we take off, we are perfect, you see. And man body is the only time, golden opportunity that we have got to go that way.
Do you declare that when we drop this body, that we take on another one?
Yes, yeah, this life after that, definitely, that's sure. I have come from India, I am no more in India, but here I am alive. That's a transfer from the physical into the astral. I told you in the beginning that man, microcosm is in the microcosm of the man body. God has given us bodies to work through the three planes. Physical body we have got, we are working in the physical plane. When we shake off at the time of death, or even if now we are able to shake off, of course, with the guidance of somebody, you know, you can tell us in the beyond. If we take up all these three bodies, we see we are souls, God is within us, and we are in God.
Yes, sir. I know you say you're very well familiar with scripture. There's another scripture that says there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. Is it not a fact that we are all physically governed by spirits? All men are physically governed by spirits. We're divided into body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes is it not true that soul refers to the physical? Then there's another sense of the word where soul refers to that which causes a man to think of speaking, which is immortal.
I think these are the words to be explained by the soul what you mean. I quoted, we are spirit in man, that's what body says. We are spirit in man. Spirit is God, that is eternal, we are eternal. The spirit in us is invited by mind and matter. If you shake up your spirit, we are in duality, you see. When we rise above duality, we find him in us and we are in him. These are different words used, of course, by different masters. And the same what I quoted, that was also from the Bible. We are spirit in man.
I still don't understand when you mentioned that question about perception. It was my idea that regardless of how many people do, whether or not they believe that when a soul leaves the body, it leaves it in the form in which it was existing here on earth, so that if a person was on a low level, then when his soul went on after body, that would also be on a low level. Now, is it true that everyone's soul will reach perfection, or is it not true?
As I told you, I think if understood properly, the man who got the man body, he has the birthright to be perfect, to know God, you see. The time factor is necessary, if it's let alone at due course. But I'll give you an example, you see. There's a tree, fruit tree. If you leave it alone to the nature, that will bear forth fruit in 6 or 7 years. If you give some scientific food to it, that will give fruit in 2 or 3 years. If the trees which are, you say, in earth, though they are not in earth, purely, but if they can help from, take some help outside and give fruit quickly, why not a conscious man can have a help from the higher conscious man to bear forth fruit quicker? So there's hope.
Do I understand you to say that after death there'll be a rebirth on earth again?
Well, there are some masters have referred to it and some have not.
Reincarnation.
I think some masters have referred to it about reincarnation and others have not referred to it. The same question was asked by me when I went to Pakistan. Mohammedans generally don't believe in reincarnation. Those people came up to me, so many, and said, well, do you believe in reincarnation? I told the same very words that I have not told you, that some have referred to reincarnation, others have not. Then I told them, before I reply you further, I would ask one question from you, those people, that I have come to Pakistan, I am abiding by all laws of this country, I am living lovingly with all, everybody loves with me, but with all that you have got prison houses and the police department and the courts. I will say, there is no police and no imprisonment for me. So the masters who have not repented, they say, become two Christians, two Mohammedans. When you live by God, you see, you love the most God, where is incarnation for you? That is only for those who are attached to the world, you see. That is why some masters have not repented. So I think man body is the highest in all creation, we have got the golden opportunity, and we can live, if we find God within this man body, where is the question of eternity?
Well, I understand this, but you do believe in
reincarnation. There are proofs for that, you see. Historic proofs, paper proof, and even alive instance. Didn't really remember the past births and that have been kept too. But not for the souls which have died abroad, you see.
It seems that the big difference in this time of this type of talk is the fact that a master is needed, you know, direct contact with a master. So my question is, who is considered a master?
Yes.
In the United States particularly.
Rather than the United States or not, I think you know better because you have all along been here. I only took my trip last time in my house to come again. But if I tell what the master says, who is the master? Who can be? What's why to be called a master? Who sees and can make others see? Yeah? With the competency to raise our soul above the body consciousness, open the inner eye, and you testify there is light. Who can give you that competence? Who is the competent to give you that? He may be called spirit to you, anyhow. If we can rise above our own self, well, that's well and good. The blind man needs two eyes to see. If not, in worldly things, we do seek the help of others. Why not in this most important case? The general rule is, man learns from the man. Teacher of the man is the man. Of course, the man is who told that God God was. He alone has the power, not the Son of Man, as I told you before. It is the God in him manifested that has the competency to raise your soul above the senses and enable you to see him, to see his light and hear the voice of God. Well, to the best I know, I have placed before you, it is far. Calm consideration to see how far you can derive benefit from that.